Hello and welcome to episode 24 of All Your Base Podcast.
All your base are belong to us. You are on the way to the adventure.
I'm Big D 7719, and you can get me on Twitter at DanTheMan 7719. Now this week Jim's on holiday, so I'm joined by my partner in co-op crime.
Hi, I'm Jean-Claude Van Lev. You can get me on Twitter at John Levery.
Good stuff. So thank you very much for coming to join us, John, to fill in...
That's not a problem.
Jim's sizable shoes, I imagine.
Yeah, all this technology I'm surrounded by trying to record. Amazing.
It's quite a setup we've got. It's... surprisingly basic. I don't know whether I don't know what people expect, but yeah, I tend to do it sat in bed, so it's not
all right. I was honestly expecting to be invited to a studio.
Well, yeah, the All Your Base Podcast headquarters, they're still building them in central London, so a few more weeks. Yeah. Right, so this is the point in the show that we remind you that we buy all our own games. We're not swayed by people trying to send us things or company trying to buy our opinions.
Yeah, I pay for all mine.
It always surprises me how many games you do buy. You seem to have everything, which makes you probably a more suitable candidate for the show than me, really, doesn't it?
I do like to try new things.
As I'm sure most of you are aware, I've moved house, so I've only just got internet back today, so I haven't played anything. In fact, that's a lie. I've played Bridge Constructor on my phone quite a lot, and Crossy Road, which I actually hate, but I seem to keep going back to it, and then hating myself more for going back to it. It's like, it's an abusive relationship where we both hate each other.
Yep.
But tell me what you've been playing, John. As you haven't moved house, I want your extensive list of what's been... You know, what's been taking up your time?
Very good. Well, first I'll say I enjoy the fact you've been playing Bridge Constructor. That's an old favourite of mine.
Yeah, it's a great game, isn't it?
I feel like a proper civil engineer.
Yeah, anybody who hasn't played this, you basically build a bridge between two points, and it's like a geeky like physics-based game, isn't it? Where you have wood and metal and wires, and you have to sort of keep the cost down, but build this bridge strong enough to take a car or a lorry or something. It's really good.
Yeah, and it shows you the pressure as the car goes across. Great fun.
It is, it's good. But I hope, for the sake of this segment, that you've been playing more than Bridge Constructor.
Yeah, I have. I've been playing quite a lot, actually, because it's been a big week for multiple things.
Yeah.
I've got four in particular I've been hammering.
Go on, then.
Which is Hotline Miami 2.
Yeah.
Wrong number.
Tell me about that.
It's all right. It's... It's got its benefits. I do like the nice, simple strategy of killing people one at a time in the best possible manner you can. There's nothing too complex about it. It's quite hard. You have to repeat it a lot. But it's just nice. But it doesn't have the same draw as the original one, I don't think.
It doesn't. So, with the gameplay, is it more of the same? Or is it different in any way?
It's a lot harder.
It's harder.
Yeah, a lot harder. I've found myself repeating levels a lot more on it.
The first one was really hard.
Yeah, this one I think is probably a lot harder. Taking on people with guns or just your fists and stuff like that. It's quite epic, quite a challenge.
Okay, all right. Perhaps worth a try at some point.
I'd certainly recommend giving it a go, but maybe if it comes down in price or ends up on PS Plus, mm-hmm. definitely. But if you're not into... Try Hotline Miami 1 if you haven't tried it yet, because I think until you've completed that, this one's going to be quite hard, A, to understand, and B, to play.
Yeah, I've played the first one quite a bit. That's hard. I don't really know what's happening with it, but I like it. It's good. It reminds me of the original Grand Theft Auto, that top-down view.
Yeah, it's quite pleasant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It's very, very satisfying as well when you complete it, having that really high difficulty. Gives you that really, gives you great satisfaction.
Well, yeah, I've also been playing some Battlefield Hardline, which I completed earlier this week.
Okay.
And that's been all right. The single player is a lot better than many of them have played.
Yeah.
A lot more interesting, few jokes in there and stuff. online is exactly as you'd expect with previous Battlefields. It's the exact same layout, same sort of game types. There's heists and things like that, which seem all right, but there's the standard startup problems with the servers just being terrible. Can never get a good connection.
It always seems to be the case with these things.
For some reason, they always put the graphics right back down in multiplayer.
Well, I guess it's the trade-off of having that 64-player multiplayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
I'm still noticing it, though.
Yeah, I can't get my head around the fact that it's cops and robbers, and that, you know, it's...
That is quite a tough one.
It just seems like a really bad idea. It's, I don't know, it doesn't appeal to me at all.
It is very fresh. It's quite a nice new angle.
I guess. Perhaps it's me stuck in my ways, but it really doesn't appeal to me at all.
It's extremely far-fetched in terms of what you do and what the storyline is and the kind of guns the criminals have.
Yeah, well, it's daft, isn't it? I don't know. It just seems stupid to me. Go on, then. What else you got?
Next on my list is Grand Theft Auto V. I've been playing again. And I've been trying out the heists. I heard Jimmy was doing them last week.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had a go as well, Danny?
A very little one, yeah. This was pre-moving, but...
But as great as the heists are, with the long load times and inviting people to play a four-person heist, you need to have all the friends online, because there's no commitment.
Yeah, it's a killer, isn't it?
When one person leaves the team, that's it. It's heist over, back to regular gameplay mode, or wait to invite another person to replace that. And while you're waiting, maybe one more person will leave.
I mean, it's quite strictly you've got to be on with your friends, haven't you? Because people generally are assholes online.
I know I'm one of them.
Yeah, well, really honest of you.
The old remote explosive just outside the garage door is my favourite.
Yeah. All that stuff. But...
Get your brand new spoilers and blows it right up.
What do you think of the actual heists?
The actual heists, I think, are quite good from what I've played so far. A bit difficult. Really ramps up the difficulty after the first heist.
Yeah.
I mean, you go from...
I think it's knowing the specialities of each role, isn't it? To sort of master it, really.
But you go from killing, you know, nobody in the first heist, just driving and pointing guns at people, to killing swathes of people in the next mission.
Yeah, but that's what people want. I personally thought the first heist was a bit of a letdown, and I fear that that could have been any Grand Theft Auto mission.
Yeah.
I think you need to judge them really from that second one onwards.
But the second one onwards is very difficult, or I imagine it gets more difficult. I've only played partway into the second one.
Yeah, I know Jim was struggling after confessing to not being very good at it. But, I've really enjoyed what I've played of them so far. So, fingers crossed, I'll get a chance to have a crack at them soon.
Yeah, invite me along.
We'll
get some heist
now
down.
That I'm back online, we can certainly have a look at it.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you had a fourth as well.
Yes, I did. Because I've got every computer game imaginable, apparently.
You have?
Apparently, yeah. My fourth one is Bloodborne.
Okay. Tell me more about Bloodborne.
Well, it's on...
This is something Jem told us a lot about quite a few weeks back now, and I'm hearing good things.
Yeah, well, it's certainly got the right response to all the hype it gets. It's a very interesting game. It's a good adventure, which I think is quite rare. Really risky all the time. You're always walking very slowly around corners. You're always expecting to be attacked. And you get killed so quickly all the time. And then you have to restart.
Yeah.
Not the whole game, just from the last checkpoint.
Is that frustrating or does it work?
It works out all right. You can sort of get to a balance where you understand the level of the area, and until you're very confident trotting around the area, you know you're not ready to move on to the next, because you'll take all your experience with you and drop it at the first big guy that shows up. So I think it works quite well.
Okay.
It makes levelling very interesting.
This sounds good. This, again, something else that I perhaps need to be having a look at.
I'll lend it to you if you like.
That's what I like to hear. So yeah, that sounds like that's some intense gaming. That's what we always like to hear.
Yep.
So yeah, so since I have you on, I was racking my brains of what we're going to look at this week. And, you know, it had to be co-op games. So we've had a bit of a chat and a think, haven't we? And we've come up with probably what we're going to call our top three co-op games. Or, saying that, though, mine does keep changing. do you want to start us off with your third choice?
My third choice, yep. I'm just making sure I know what it is. All right, so in third place, I've decided to go with Call of Duty.
Now, which Call of Duty?
Well, if I had to pick one, I think I actually probably had the most fun on Black Ops, the first one, back in Vietnam.
Okay.
Because while it's not so much a cooperative game, it has got the zombie mode, which is all right, and you can get so far with it. But I found myself more and more really enjoying knowing two or three or one other person and playing a co-op game mode of team deathmatch and just slaughtering everyone.
We played this awful lot in sort of a co-op mode, didn't we?
This is why it had this is why it had to be up in the top three, because I've put so many hours into Call of Duty. And I remember the meat grinder, you called it.
Yeah.
So which we'd help each other get.
What's this? Chopper gunner, dogs, and the blackbird thing. And the terror this used to cause people. You know, I can only imagine what they must have thought. Because when those dogs come, you panic big time. When that chopper gunner comes, oh my God.
You can't hide inside or out.
Yeah, such fantastic moments of getting the dogs and chopper gunner combo. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that's good.
Yeah, and I know that I've played it a lot of time on it. Do you remember the hate mail as well? So many recordings of people really hating the fact that we were working so well together.
This is back when... So not back then, but Call of Duty especially was like famous for getting abuse from people, wasn't it? And I think, you know, our method of not running around the maps so much really upset an awful lot of people, didn't it?
Yeah, they call it camping.
No, but it wasn't camping.
The numbers read winning.
And that's what matters, right? That KD ratio was... You know, swelling,
pushing it up to 3-for-1. I was trying for 3-for-1.
And you know, if they choose to run around like idiots into the same spots, then hey, that's their problem. But yeah,
that was my favorite.
Black Ops was great memories.
I always like leaving a bomb as well. After you'd moved on from a certain spot, someone would come back to try and find you, and they're dead.
You could tell the sort of person that was going to come back and make sure they got their kill. that was definitely great memories. I'm going to go for Battlefield 3, which, again, isn't really a co-op game, but packing those hours in what was effectively a co-op mode, but quite specifically in that scout helicopter, where I would pilot and have the main guns... You'd be on the side with your repair torch, rocket launcher, or whatever else you wanted. And we'd go entire rounds without getting killed. And you'd keep me in the air. I'd keep you sort of time on target. It was... I think out of everything, this is what I want to go back and play the most.
Yeah.
In fact, no.
It was always
that's
good.
A lie, because I'm going to say that after each one. This is something that I really want to go back and play. When they upped the numbers on Battlefield 4 to 64 players, it almost made it too hard because too many people took too much pleasure in shooting your helicopters down. And the attack helicopter, which was perhaps more of a co-op split where obviously the co-pilot had the main gun, the fact that you couldn't repair that helicopter meant you were pretty much useless.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. So yeah, Battlefield 3 in the scout helicopter... And on some maps it worked great. So the ones where you could go and hide behind buildings and things, yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, when you could dodge those rockets as they came at you using building.
Yeah, it was. I used to be so good at flying those helicopters. That was. And I'm sure there's people listening think like hating us right now, because those people who do take those scout helicopters up for the entire map, they were a pain in the ass. They were a massive pain in the ass. But it worked.
It did. And that's what co-op's all about. Working together to win.
Working together to win. Go on then, what's number two?
All right. In my second place, I've decided, oddly enough, to go for Dark Souls 2.
Okay, this is something which I had in my mentions list, but I'm glad you've brought this one up.
Yeah.
Tell me why Dark Souls 2.
Obviously, I've been into Bloodborne recently, so I'm always thinking back to Dark Souls, and it's a very single-player orientated game. You don't tend to directly interact. But talking of working together to win, in Dark Souls 2, if you were really struggling with the boss because you just picked the wrong class at the beginning and you'd
you'd be dire throughout. In Dark Souls.
The bosses were really hard. They'd just be triple what you'd expect them to be in any other game, easily, in terms of power, the speed they'd move, the damage dealt to them is so low. Yeah. And so it gave you one option, which was to put a marker on the floor and summon another online player to help. And that was a complete game changer. If you were struggling with a boss
if you got one person in,
yeah, you could get the terrible people. the magic users. Jesus.
Purposely come and screw you over.
Yeah, they push you into the pit of spikes or something like that. Yeah. Push you off the edge.
It's quite fitting, really, for Dark Souls, I guess.
Yep. But thinking more broadly, they also, since Demon's Souls, because it had a following, but because the game is so indirect with its direction and its storyline, it leaves very little clear and obvious. Yeah. You need help from other people, and there's huge online communities following it, which is itself a form of cooperation. I look on YouTube all the time for how to defeat this or find that object over there, and people leave notes on the ground telling you where to go. Sometimes those notes aren't helpful because it'll look like you can jump to this platform, and someone will write on the floor, "Try jumping," and of course you'll give it a go. And die, obviously, and have to restart. But
I guess that's
really good cooperative atmosphere, I think, is generated in this.
Yeah, it was. I was helped through a fair few bosses by random people coming in off the internet.
Yeah. Sometimes they'd come in and just plan to kill you, which was a different kettle of fish. But generally, I think people working together to overcome things, that's definitely up there.
Yeah, it's good. It's how they imagine it on the adverts rather than people just being like shouting at you and being really aggressive.
Yeah, so yeah, okay. That's up there. How about your number two?
I'm going for Portal 2. Now, don't get me wrong, I think the original Portal is the better game, but for the purposes of co-op, Portal 2 playing as Peabody and what was the other one? There was like the peanut guy.
The skinny one. Yeah, it was guy. Like M&M's.
Just like the M&M's, yeah. Peabody and whatever. Yeah, that got really good. Like, it starts off simple, you know, having the two portals you can interact. That got so complicated, but so rewarding. It had that fantastic Valve sort of sense of humour, sense of achievement. And, yeah, just all the best bits of Portal, all the best bits of Valve, all mixed up into a really fantastic co-op game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it had the single player, which again was really good. In fact, it was a solid package, Portal 2. But then having that co-op just made it really, really good. This is something else again, which we played through together, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember the synchronization had to be really spot on sometimes in order to play through.
It was it's one of those where you've got to have that microphone, you've got to have somebody you know, because it really takes a lot of work. It's one of the few games which isn't about killing either, which is rare for me.
Yeah.
So perhaps quite a nice one to have.
Storyline to go alongside it, I think.
Yeah, quite a nice one to have on there. And hopefully somebody can tweet in the name of the other guy. Yeah. The one that's not Peabody.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Yellow M&M.
Yellow M&M.
The actual, probably is. The actual name. Yeah, or some awesome sounding name. So instead of, you got Peabody and the other one's called Hunter X or something like that. Just so that he's got an annoying better name.
Yeah, something like
everyone
that.
Everyone wants to be Hunter X.
Let's find out. Go on then. So what's got your top spot? What's your favourite co-op memory?
Well, there was loads of games I could have chosen from to add to the list, but there's only one that's really... Well, it's part of the reason I think that we're talking about computer games and stuff like that. It's how I know Jim from AYB Podcast, and everybody hears about it all the time on this. It's going to be Destiny, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. See, I hadn't initially... I hadn't really initially thought of this as a co-op game, but that was probably pretty naive, because the only modes we play once you get to level 20 are purely co-op, aren't they?
Yeah. And even before then, you know, I'll jump in with one of your friends from where you work or something like that, and
yeah,
we'll just get along, and you've been introduced to players like Pixie through it, and I've been introduced to Jim and Reg. Yeah, yeah. It's got quite a good group following. Even though I don't play as much as I used to, it's definitely memorable.
Well, I think House of Wolves is long overdue, isn't it, now? So that will hopefully freshen things up again. But, yeah, I guess Destiny, whilst it can be single player, the day, like the weekly, the Nightfall, and the raids in particular, are huge co-op experiences.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I didn't really think of this myself, actually, because... I wish I had now. You've stolen it from me.
It's just such a smooth cooperative. People join in, leave, doesn't matter. It's nice and easy, but it helps to have people with you on certain missions.
Yeah, it does. I think Destiny's a really good shout, actually. I think a lot of the people who have played it and don't enjoy it is largely because they haven't got that sort of co-op atmosphere, and you know, me and Jim and yourself, even, we've built a huge circle of people who will just drop in and out. I mean, like you say, you play it less, and a lot of them do, but there's always people online, and you can just jump in, and you know that having that other person is going to help you do what you need to do.
Yeah, and the coordination can get quite complex. I can't remember what the name of the mission is now, where you get sent to Mars or Venus, and the two teams have to figure out who's who and who's with them.
The Vault of Glass, mate, yeah.
Vault of Glass, yeah. And then you've got to figure out who's gone where, and then while one team sort of keeps the portal open, the other team's got to run through protecting the third member, and it's very complex tactics.
It is. It takes either a strong leader or a team of six real pros sort of really plugging away at it. But yeah, it's. I think that's a really good shout, actually. Although saying that, yeah, I'm still very happy with my number one choice.
Let's hear it. What's your number one?
So I'm going for Modern Warfare 2 again, which has been the top of a few lists recently, but quite specifically the Spec Ops missions. You could play them by yourself, but realistically, you have to do these with somebody you're really tight with and really sort of work well together. That Star 69 achievement you get at the end of them, that's still one of my proudest achievements. So for anybody who hasn't played these, and I can't imagine there's many, they're like little set pieces from within the story and the game, aren't they?
Yeah.
Of varying difficulties. And you've got ones in the favela where you've only got a pistol. You've got missions where you've got to sneak around and snipe. Going right up to those final missions is the final one where you've got to kill the 10 juggernauts. And then there's a hostage scene at the end. And
it's
unreal. It's so hard, but so satisfying to play those game sections through with another person. And then, yeah, it's really good. I think perhaps one of the most memorable is the one where one person's up in the AC-130, the big sort of plane that circles the battlefield.
I remember that one.
And you're firing down your cannons, and the other guy on the ground is very lightly armoured and sort of armed. And you're having to provide sort of Overwatch for him whilst he's passing through this village. It's such a good moment.
There's the part with the building's interior and keeping people suppressed outside with that plane.
Yeah, I think, again, that's one of those wow moments in gaming, which Modern Warfare 2 has achieved, where you're toggling through your night vision and thermal vision, trying to see into the houses. It's so good. It's such a good idea. There's one with a chopper gunner as well, where one person's in the chopper gunner, providing really close fire support, and the other guy's trying to push through. It's really, really good.
And it's a nice, simple idea, I think.
Yeah, shortish, individual missions, all like broken up into difficulty. It's like gaming of old, I think, almost, but...
Yeah, and they hand one person a big gun, one person a smaller gun, but each one can only do a certain thing at the time.
It
so
requires
you
that
have to work together.
That element of teamwork is brilliant, isn't it? This is what I want to go back and play now, because I went back and played Modern Warfare online, and it was just full of like hackers and people who were sort of like glitching and like no scoping and stuff, and it was effectively ruined. But
yeah,
obviously this is something that can't be ruined by the people who, for whatever reason, choose to do that. But yeah, this is something which perhaps one weekend when I get you up here, we'll have to have a look at.
We'll go through them again, yeah?
Yes, indeed. Right, good stuff, John. Thank you very much for coming to fill in Jim's shoes. I mean, there's a game which I've spoken about a few times, which perhaps one day could very well take that top spot of that list. And that's Don't Starve Together. And I know I bang on quite a lot about Don't Starve, but this is something that's actually happening. It's genuinely coming. You know, the PC version is past its trial phase. It's a real living, breathing concept now. Like, I adore Don't Starve. And the thought of having somebody to sort of go through that experience with you is really exciting.
Yeah, I think you like it more than me. But I have to say, I can imagine things would get a lot more interesting with that second person helping out.
Oh,
there's never enough
yeah.
time in the day to get everything done. And it'd be nice to have a second person to be running around picking up the other half of the things you need.
Yeah, definitely. You could get so much done. It'd be fantastic. So yeah, Don't Starve could really take that top spot.
Now, you can increasingly see how our sort of relationship is questionable here, where we say if we work together, you could go out and get the food. I'll make sure that you've got a nice sweater made when you get back to keep you warm in the cold. It sounds like something else going on, really.
Yes, well, that's that's how rumours start.
I think this rumour's already begun, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Jim's well onto us. Anyway, forget him. So, yeah, thank you very much for coming to fill the gap left by Jimbo. He'll be back next week. I don't actually know where he went. I don't think he was too sure himself, but you know, I'm sure he'll come back with a new sense of meaning and culture and all relaxed and chilled out. So let's see how that goes.
Unless he took his PlayStation,
perhaps. Who knows? Let's see.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for having me, mate.
No worries. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next week.
Bye.
Not running around the maps so much really upset an awful lot of people, didn't it?
Yeah, they call it camping.
No, it wasn't camping.
The numbers read winning.